Blog Talk Radio.
Well, praise the Lord, everybody. I want to welcome you to another edition of the Miracle Man Show here on this Tuesday, December the 6th of 2022. I'm your host, the Miracle Man, coming to you live from Midland, Michigan, where I live. And it is great to have you tuning in wherever you may be tuning in from, however you might have heard about us, wherever you're tuning in from, as like I said a second ago, wherever and however, you know, whether you're from in America, you know, here in Michigan in the United States like me, or you're in maybe a different state in America, or maybe you're tuning in from a different country. And it's great to have you either way. And we even had people tuning in from Islamic countries, which is incredible. It's awesome. Maybe even North Korea. Listeners, I'm going to give you a fact that I don't know if you know this or not. In North Korea, Christmas celebrations are basically forbidden. They're basically forbidden. And Christian church is to be kept underground, kept under wraps. And that is something that I found out recently, that not only is church there supposed to be underground, but it's like, it's as if they don't necessarily know that in so many other places in the world, they celebrate Christmas. So that is something that when I found that out, it was just incredible to me. Now, obviously, I mean, you know, now in Japan, for example, Christmas is not necessarily a true public holiday, and it's often a working day. Sometimes gifts may be exchanged and stuff, but it's not like how it is in so many other places, including this country. It's different. Anyhow, I was saying, you know, we have people tuning in even from some of these Muslim countries. And that's a great thing to have happening. That people who even people who are Muslim are tuning in and finding this. Or maybe the people aren't Muslim, but I mean the countries are Muslim. I misspoke. I didn't mean it like that. I'm sorry. All right. But of course, I hope that, pray that everyone's having a nice day, wherever you may be. And the pun of the week, I meant to give it to you yesterday, but I had somehow missed it. What do you call a snowman with a six-pack? Is it A, the Coca-Cola snowman, B, the Mountain Dew snowman, or is it C, the abdominal snowman, or is it D, all of the above? It's the abdominal. But it could be either. The reason I say it can be either is because Coca-Cola and Mountain Dew do both come in six packs. But I've wondered, Victoria, why is it that when you have muscular abs, why are they called six-pack abs? Six blocks? So that makes sense, six blocks. Evenly sized blocks, right? So they're not always 100% equally sized. So it's not like, so listeners, it's not like when you go to your grocery store. It's not like when you go to the supermarket to grab a six-pack or six-count of Coca-Cola or maybe water or whatever you might get in a six-pack, preferably not alcohol. But when you go to pick up like a six-pack of Coca-Colas, you'll find that all of those Cokes, all those Coca-Colas bottles will be equally sized. Generally 16.9 fluid ounces, it'll say on the package. But on your six-pack ab blocks, they're not always equally sized, but they're supposed to be close. Because I had wondered why they were called six-packs. And I had heard that over the years, and people say, yeah, I'm working on my six-pack. I'm working on my six-pack. I'm working on my six-pack. And I knew it meant six-pack abs, abdomen, you know, abdominals, yeah. And I would say, yes, that is an appropriate gym. Or workout facility, whatever you want to call it. It's appropriate for Planet Fitness because, you know, they're a workout facility and what you do is you go there to get stronger. And so it makes sense, you know. I mean, I think it's funny. I mean, it's a cute fun to have, a cute pun to have, the pun that they put out there for the abdominal snowman. Because it is, you know, December. And so I thought it was a funny one. So wanted to take a minute to explain that, you know, sometimes we might have new listeners who tune in. So obviously, sometimes we do have new listeners that tune in. So figured I'd explain something. So the reason when this show was developed 5 years ago, we came up with a name for it. We called it the Miracle Man Show. Why the Miracle Man Show, you might wonder. We called it the Miracle Man Show because, of course, we believe in miracles. And I have seen many miracles in my life, including in my body. And I can tell you the miracle working power of God is real. It's not a figment of your imagination. And obviously some people might believe in like sports miracles and things like that, but these miracles that I'm referring to are miracles from God. God put miracles on the earth. I think of something that Brother R.W. Shambach said. He said that God put miracles in the church, and he's not going to take them out. He put them in. So it's not some incidental thing. I believe in the miracle-working power of God, and that he is the miracle worker, and that he can do all kinds of miracles. Provision miracles, financial, you know, which can be different kinds of provision, you know, finances, business, relationship miracles, prodigal sons and daughters coming home, prodigal, you know, even wayward parents that might have ran astray. And and healing of, you know, the mind, healing of the body. And I believe that Jesus is a miracle worker. And because I've seen so many miracles in my life, and I continue to believe God for the miracle-working power from to heal my eyesight. And I know for a fact I'm going to see, because I could see for the first 3 months of my life. But then when I was 3 months old, I had a disease called amaurosis that took my eyesight away from me. And it was a seizure as a result of the seizure. I'm still believing God for my eyesight to be restored. And I know he's going to do it. That manifestation is going to take place. And it's not something that I just sit here and say, oh, I wish it would happen. I wish it would have came. I don't know. Nope. I trust God. And for some reason, and in case you're wondering, and all, did you remember your first 3 months being able to see? No, I don't at all. Because obviously people might, you know, wonder. But generally you can't see that, just in case you're wondering. So, and then about a year later, you know, I was taken to Ann Arbor. I had cancer of the colon lining, and they said that I would probably not live. They said I would probably not live. And then they said, well, if your son does live, to my mom, they said, if your son does live, it'll be very miserable. And they said, but God. That's what I have to say about all that is, but God. And I know that he is the miracle-working power. He is the miracle-working God. And I thank God for what he's done in me. And that's part of why we call this the Miracle Man Show. And that's why I was taking a little minute there to testify about the greatness of God. Because sometimes it's good for people to know your story. You know, bits of your story and what God brought you through, because God has seen me through. It's not something, it's not some kind of, I wish he would have, I don't know. I'm so grateful that he has seen me through. And I know that he's not done seeing me through. And And I can rest easy knowing that. And whatever you have need of, you can trust in the Lord. Have faith in him, knowing that he will do what he said in his word. And you'll be able to just, you know, believe, you know, whatever. What it says, whatever you ask in prayer, believing, you shall receive. And it's not some one of those things where you go, no. Whatever you ask in prayer, believing, it says, you shall receive. And so that's a little bit about why it's called the Miracle Man Show. We started back on July 25th of 2017, and we've been going and blowing ever since that night that we launched this, and I'm pleased of how it's grown, and we keep having more and more people. We have people tuning in from many different places, and it's great to see. We've had people tuning in on all six continents where people live. Not Antarctica, because no one lives on Antarctica necessarily full time. I don't know about you, but I would not want to live there full time. I think it would be far, 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 far too cold. I think it would just be too cold for me, too cold for most of us. So that's why I'm not staying there. And if you wanna live on Antarctica, then have at it if you want. But it's not for me. Antarctica is not for me. But it could be for one of you, some of you maybe, if you would like it to be. But I'm not gonna throw myself in that bag. By bag, I mean that whole thing of living in Antarctica with all that cold. I think it's cold enough here in the winter in Michigan. Right today it's not so bad. It could be a bit worse, but but I'd rather be here in Michigan than in Antarctica, you know, near the South Pole, or even near the North Pole. And I think if I lived on the North Pole, I'd want to live with Santa, you know. But of course, you people got to realize, though, that Santa is just a fantasy. What I mean by that is, I mean, he won't be coming down your chimney at midnight on Christmas Eve going into Christmas morning. Just to give you a heads up, in case some of you might wonder. But, but as they say, it is what it is. So a couple of quick things that I want to let you know of. First of all, the first thing I want to let you know about is about the book, Rivers of Miracles, the story of my life and how great God's been. And it talks about different things that I've went through in my life and how God has been there, moving on my behalf. And he hasn't stopped moving. He's still moving. He's still working. And it's something that I can rest easy knowing. I can rest easy at night knowing that he's moving on my behalf. And you'll be able to, too. Find out, you know, that you'll find out when you read his word that his promises for you are yes and amen. And it's something that I want you to realize. Because he is a miracle-working God that works wonders. The book gives my story. It's called Rivers of Miracles. The website, you can go online to buy the book, and the website is riversofmiracles.com. That is rivers, R-I, as in like rivers of living water, R-I-V-E-R-S, of miracles.com. And you can go on there and find out that information about the book and how you can get that book into your hands and how you can read it. Because you know how you can let have it be a blessing in your life, because I want you to read it. I really do. It's not something that, you know, I'm just like, I don't know. I would love for you to read it and for it to be a blessing to your life. I really would. So please, by all means, go check it out. Let it be a blessing to your life. Buy one for someone else for a Christmas present. Because it is Christmas time now. And you can go on there and buy the book. and give one to somebody. So they can read it and have their faith built up. And that would be a great gift to give. Amen. The other thing I want to remind you about is about the PayPal. You can go online to paypal.com. in order to sow your seed into the Miracle Man program. And when you sow your seed, it helps keep us going. It helps keep us reaching people. And it just helps just have, you know, just helps us keep on keeping on. You can go online to paypal.com to sow your seed. And when you get on there, you can type in Rivers Shukla so that that's where the money can go. Rivers Shukla, R-Y-V-E-R-S, and then the last name Shukla, S-H-U-K-L-A. Please keep in mind, there is a space between Rivers and Shukla. And it is something that I would like for you to make a note of, if you would kindly do so. Because I would like for you to do that. If you so kindly would. The verse I want to sum into your life tonight is, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, is that whoso believeth in him shall not perish, but have eternal life. And, you know, you give into the miracle program, you help keep us going. Jesus loved us so much that he gave his only begotten Son. If you think about it, when Jesus was born in that manger, it was a Christmas present for us because he was brought into the world. And then when he died on the cross, that began the new covenant for us. So that's why in my mind, I look and I feel like the birth of Jesus was a major, a very major Christmas present. That's just something that was in my mind right there. But I was just thinking about. Speaking of Christmas, I shall sing a few songs, and then we shall get into the word of the Lord. It's beginning to look a lot like Christmas everywhere you go. Take a look in the 5 and 10, glistening once again, with candy canes and silver lanes aglow. It's beginning to look a lot like Christmas. Toys in every store. And the prettiest sight to see is the holly that will be on your own front door. A pair of hop-along boots and a pistol that shoots is the wish of Barney and Ben. Dolls that'll talk and go for a walk is the hope of Janice and Jen. And Mom and Dad can hardly wait for school to start again. It's beginning to look a lot like Christmas. Tune the bells, everywhere you go. There's a tree in the Grand Hotel, one in the park as well, a sturdy kind that doesn't mind the snow. It's beginning to look a lot like Christmas. Soon the bells will start, and the thing that'll make them ring is the carol that you sing right within your heart. It's beginning to look a lot like Christmas. Soon the bells will start, and the thing that'll make them ring is the carol that you sing right within your heart. A pair of hop-along boots and a pistol that shoots is the wish of Barney and Ben. Dolls that'll talk and will go for a walk is the hope of Janice and Jen. And Mom and Dad can hardly wait for school to start again. It's beginning to look a lot like Christmas. Toys in every store. But the prettiest sight to see is the holly that will be on your own front door. Sure, it's Christmas once more. Here comes Santa Claus, here comes Santa Claus, right on Santa Claus Lane. Vixen, Blixen, and all his reindeer pulling all the reins. Peace on earth will come to all if we just follow the line. Fill your hearts with the Christmas cheer, 'cause Santa Claus comes tonight. Here comes Santa Claus, here comes Santa Claus, right down Santa Claus Lane. He doesn't care if you're rich or poor, because he loves you just the same. Santa knows that we've got children, that makes everything right. Let's fill your stockings and say your prayers, because Santa comes tonight. Here comes Santa Claus, here comes Santa Claus, right down Santa Claus Lane. He'll come around when the chimes ring out that it's Christmas morn again. Jesus will come to all if we just follow the light. Jump in bed, cover up your head, because Santa Claus comes tonight. Here comes Santa Claus, here comes Santa Claus, right down Santa Claus Lane. And on this Christmas morn again, peace on earth will come to all if we just follow the light. Fill your hearts with the Christmas cheer, cause Santa Claus comes tonight. Cause Santa comes tonight. I'm going to sing a couple of another Christmas songs. Hark the herald angels sing, glory to the newborn King. Peace on earth and mercy mild, God is sinners reconciled. Joyful all ye nations rise, hallowed triumph of the skies, the angelic host proclaim, glory to the newborn King. Hark the herald angels sing, glory to the newborn King. Hark the herald angels sing, righteousness. His on earth and mercy mild, God is sinners reconciled. Joyful all ye nations rise, all the triumph of the skies. The angelic host proclaim, Christ was born in Bethlehem. Hark the herald angels sing, Christ is born in Bethlehem. Asleep on the hay, the stars stars in the sky. Look down where he lay. The little Lord Jesus asleep on the hay. Tuesday, close by me forever, and love me, I pray. Bless all the dear children in thy tender care, and take us to heaven to live with you there. Away in the manger, no crib for a bed, the lid, the cattle are lowing, the little Lord Jesus, no crying he makes. Oh, and save I there my cradle till morning I pray. Silent night, holy night, all is calm, all is bright, round yon virgin mother and child, holy infant so tender and mild, sleep in heavenly peace, sleep in heavenly peace. Silent night, holy night, shepherds quail at the sound. Jesus, Lord, at thy birth, Jesus, Lord, at thy birth, silent night, holy night, Son of God, man's good light, Jesus, Lord, living, hallelujah to the King. Christ our Savior is born. Christ the Savior is born. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus, that you are here for us. You were born for us. You were born in a manger, but you're not in a manger anymore. Thank you, Master, for that. Thank you for what you mean to each and every one of us. Thank you that you are. with us right here, right now. You're making a way for us when it seems like there's no way. But I know you're making a way. Even when it seems like there isn't one, you're making a way. And we can trust in you just knowing that, Lord. And I pray for all these listeners right now that you're making provision for them so that they can have the best Christmas possible. That they'll be blessed, they'll have a great Christmas this season to celebrate your birth. And I thank you for that. And so, thank you. But you are. You came for us. Now, Master, I thank you for this time that we have in your word to study your word tonight. That these people have come with ears to hear and minds that are ready to receive your word tonight. And that as we study your word, they will be able to understand it and put it into practice in their own life and get the maximum benefit from it. Because that is what you would want for them. And I thank you that they will put to practice tonight. Thank you that you're meeting every need represented tonight by these listeners. You know what they have need of, even when I don't. Thank you that you're meeting their needs. You're strengthening their bodies, healing their bodies, healing their minds, making ways when it seems like there's no way. You're making a way for them. Now, I make my confession over this program. I pray that sponsors and partners come into this program, that finances come into this program, that increases in listenership come into this program. Most importantly of all, I thank you for the huge amounts of souls coming into your kingdom as a result of this radio program. In Jesus' name, amen. Go with me, please, if you would, to the book of Numbers, chapter 11. Praise God, Numbers 11. I want to encourage you, just stick with us. Whatever I do the next little bit, you follow along. Praise God. Numbers 11, I want to begin with verse 1. Now the people complained about their hardships in the hearing of the Lord. And when he heard them, his anger was aroused. Then fire from the Lord burned among them and consumed some of the outskirts of the camp. When the people cried out to Moses, he prayed to the Lord, and the fire died down. So that place was called Taberah, because fire from the Lord had burned among them. The rabble of them began to crave other food. And again, the Israelites started wailing, and they said, if only we had meat to eat. We remember the fish we ate in Egypt at no cost. Also, the cucumbers. I don't like cucumbers. The melons. Oh, side note, I don't like melons either. The leeks. What are leeks? What's a leek you eat? Victoria, what's a leek? A leek. Either way, listeners, it doesn't sound good to me. Leeks, I don't care about leeks. Oh, the onions. I don't care about the onions either. I certainly don't want onions on my pizza. And the garlic. Excuse me, the garlic I care about is like the seasoning you put on stuff. Not as a vegetable. Why are the Israelites complaining about foods that I mostly don't like? I don't know. Maybe they're different from us from a bunch of us Americans. I was just feeling punchy tonight, I guess. Yeah, I'm punchy tonight. Punchy. Verse 6. But now we have lost our appetite. We never see anything but this manna. The manna was like coriander seed and looked like, listen, the people went around gathering it, and they ground it, and they handmill or crushed it in a mortar. They cooked it in a pot or made it into cakes, and it tasted like something made of olive oil. When the dew settled on the camp at night, the manna also came down. Moses heard the people of every family wailing, each at the entrance to his tent. The Lord became exceedingly angry, and Moses was troubled. He asked the Lord, "Why have you brought this trouble on your servant? What have I done to displease you that you put the burden of all these people on me? Did I conceive all these people? Did I give them birth? Why do you tell me to carry them in my arms as a nurse carries an infant to the land you promised on oath by their forefathers? Where can I get meat for all these people? They keep wailing to me, 'Give us meat to eat. I cannot carry all these people by myself. The burden is too heavy for me. If this is how you are going to treat me, put me to death right now. I have found favor in your eyes. Do not let me face my own ruin.' The Lord said to Moses, 'Bring me 70 of Israel's elders who are known to you as leaders and officials among the people. Have them come to the tent of meeting so that they may stand there with you. I will come down and I will speak with you there, and I will take the Spirit that is on you and put the Spirit on them. They will help you carry the burden of the people so that you will not have to carry it along. Tell the people, consecrate yourselves in preparation for tomorrow when you will eat meat. The Lord heard you when you wailed, 'If only we had meat to eat, we were better off in Egypt. Now the Lord will give us meat, will give you meat, and you will eat it. You will not eat it for just one day, or for 2 days, or for 5 days, 10 or 20 days, but for a whole month, until it comes out of your nostrils and you loathe it, because you have rejected the Lord, who is among you. You have wailed before him, saying, why did we ever leave Egypt? But Moses said, here I am among 600,000 men on foot. And you say, I will give them meat to eat for a whole month. Will they have enough? The flocks and herds were slaughtered for them. Will they have enough if all the fish in the sea were caught for them? The Lord answered Moses, is the Lord's arm too short? You will now see whether or not what I say will come true for you. Moses went out and told the people what the Lord had said. He brought together 70 of their elders and had them stand around the tent. Then the Lord came down in the cloud and spoke with them. And he took up the spirit that was on him and put the spirit on the 70 elders. When the spirit rested on them, they prophesied, but they did not do so again. However, two men, whose names were Eldad and Medad, who remained in the camp, were listed among the elders, but they did not go out into the tent. Yet the Spirit also rested on them. They prophesied in the camp. The young man ran and told Moses, Eldad and Medad are prophesying in the camp. Joshua, son of Nun, who had been Moses' aide since youth, spoke up and he said, Moses, my Lord, stop them. Moses replied, are you jealous for my sake? I wish that all the Lord's people were prophets and that the Lord would put his spirit on them. Then Moses and the elders of Israel returned to the camp. Now a wind went out from the Lord and drove quail in from the sea. It brought them down all around the camp to about 3 feet above the ground, as far as a day's walk in any direction. All that day and night and all the next day, the people went out and gathered quail. No one gathered less than 10 homers. Then they spread them out all around the camp. But while the meat was still between their teeth, before it could be consumed, the anger of the Lord burned against the people, and he struck them with a severe plague. Therefore, the place was named Kibroth Hattaavah, because there they buried the people who had craved other food. From Kibroth Hattaavah, the people traveled to Hazeroth and stayed there. Let's look at Miriam and Aaron, chapter 12. Miriam and Aaron began to talk against Moses because of his Cushite wife, for he had married a Cushite. Has the Lord spoken only through Moses? They asked. Hasn't he also spoken through us? And the Lord heard this. Now Moses was a very humble man, more humble than anyone else on the face of the earth. At once the Lord said to Moses, Aaron and Miriam, come out to the tent of meeting, all three of you. So the three of them came out. Then the Lord came down in a pillar of cloud. He stood at the entrance to the tent and summoned Aaron and Miriam. When both of them stepped forward, he said, listen to my words. When a prophet of the Lord is among you, I reveal myself to him in visions. I speak to him in dreams. But this is not true for my servant Moses. He is faithful in all my house. With him, I speak face to face, clearly and not in riddles. He sees the form of the Lord. Why then were you not afraid to speak against my servant Moses? The anger of the Lord burned against them, and he left them. When the cloud lifted from above the tent, there stood Miriam, leprous, like snow. Aaron turned toward her and saw that she had leprosy, and he said to Moses, "Please, my Lord, do not hold against us the sin that we have so foolishly committed. Do not let her be like a stillborn infant coming from its mother's womb with its flesh half eaten away." So Moses cried out to the Lord, "Oh God, please heal her." The Lord replied to Moses, "If her father had spit in her face, would she not have been in disgrace for 7 days? Confine her outside the camp for 7 days. After that, she can be brought back." So Miriam was confined outside the camp for 7 days, and the people did not move on until she was brought back. After that, the people left Hazeroth and encamped in the desert of Paran. So, you see here, folks, first the people were complaining about manna. See, because of what they had done, they were, you know, they didn't trust God. And everything that was involved in that, because they did not believe Joshua and Caleb, they, you know, about the promised land, since they didn't believe Joshua and Caleb, they would have spent 40 days and 40 years in the desert wandering. God gave them manna to eat. And they would gather it. They would gather it. They would gather it. They would gather it. On the sixth day, they would gather enough for 2 days, and they would eat it. But then, suddenly, they started to wish for meat. And they also were wishing for those things like the melons and the cucumbers, for leeks, for onions. Some of them probably want onions and tomatoes on their pizza. Do you bet some of them, Victoria, wanted onions and tomatoes on their pizzas? What would you do with onions and tomatoes on your pizza? Or would you probably bury it and burn it? We're doing cooked tomatoes and cooked onions. Will you eat that on a pizza, or would you bury it and burn it? So you'd burn it and bury it, wouldn't you? With no apology? You would stomp on it if you had to, wouldn't you? And be like, "Bye-bye, why'd you ruin such a pizza?" The pizzas I want, folks, they're heavy. They're heavy because of what's on them. But you know what would not be on my pizza? Quail. For some reason, quail just doesn't sound appealing to me. That's what those Israelites were started to eat. And there was so much quail that it was enough to cover the ground all around the camp for the 600,000 people, which is about 3 1/4 Chattanoogas. Chattanooga, Tennessee has like 185,000 people. But in Israelite camp, 600,000. But if you think about it, those people started to eat meat, but what was in between their teeth? God was angry. And because those people had been complaining to him. They had been complaining to Moses. And Moses even asked Aaron for help. And so he was trying to help them deal with the people. Because he had meant for those people to eat manna. He did. But those people were complaining. And then the next chapter, Miriam. She did what she did. And then she ended up with leprosy. All because of what she did. Moses asked for help. He asked God to heal her. And then he said, send her out of the camp for 7 days. So she had to be taken out for 7 days, and then finally she was brought back in. And this manna, when I was little and I first heard of that story, I used to think that manna was like this little banana bread cake type thing, maybe. It's like nothing overly sweet, but like just a little bit sweet enough. Like I wouldn't think, it's going to be enough for a sugar high or anything like that. But that it would be just enough. Just a nice little sweet pick-me-up is what I was figuring that he would have given them. But said it was just mixed with olive oil. Just this bread mixed with olive oil. And then they were to gather it up. And then, of course, they were to gather it up and eat it. And that's what they ended up doing with it. Gathering it and eating it. As God had commanded them to do. And But then they started complaining. They were getting tired of it. Where it's not just this way with food, but it's this way with so many things. We always want a new flavor. People always, you know, people wonder, okay, what's the new flavor of the week? What's the new flavor of the month? Problem with a lot of churches. They're always trying to go to the new fad. And oh, is that we're just reading the Bible, you know, teaching them what it's meant to be? You know, light show, pyro. And all that kind of stuff in order to replace the Word of God? I don't think so. But, yeah, these people, they always, people always want, you know, a different flavor. And some people are always looking for, like, okay, what's the latest, greatest thing? And that's why you'll go through a shoe store and you won't just see two different kinds of shoes with, of course, the varying sizes based on the person's foot. There'll be more to it than just dress shoe, tennis shoe, and sandals. There'll be so many different styles of the different types of shoes. Same thing with shirts. Same thing with pants. I could go on about this. People always want choices. But of course, today's a different day than the day that they were in. But when they were complaining, they were not doing what God told them to do. God was telling them what to do, but instead they were complaining instead of just trusting Him. And so, if I were you, so if God tells you something to do, then do what He told you to do. And be try to be happy with it. You know, find ways to enjoy it. Whatever it is that God called you to do. Because He won't necessarily change your call just because for whatever reason you don't like it. I think of my pastor, Dr. Buckley, back in the 79, he got told, take you and Vicky and the kids from here in San Diego, California, and go to Michigan. And God showed him a little map of the state of Michigan. Where did it land? Midland. And so God is like, why would I go there? And he's thinking, well, I'm here in San Diego right here. I'm happy here. I mean, he's like, you know, he was poor, though, but he's like, well, you know, been doing work for you here. And he's like, well, now I want you to go to Midland, build an army. And, you know, it'll be a place of excellence. And it's been great. And he's followed God. He's been obeying God since that time. And God is obviously very pleased with him. And at first he was like, well, why would I go there? But now he's content with it. And Pastor had since been told, you know, by God, okay, you can go be a traveling minister full-time if you want, or you can stay here and be a pastor if you want. He's chosen to be a pastor. And God's blessed him. And he's been very obedient in the eyes of God. And I don't feel like he's led us astray. Obviously, no one's perfect, but I can't see where he led us astray. And I thank God for his obedience to God. And he always seems grateful. He's not whining, wishing for this, and nope. He's thankful to God. He really is. And so, Heavenly Father, thank you for this word tonight. I pray that we would get it in our spirit tonight, that we would be thankful to you as we go through life. So we'd be thankful for what you've done for us throughout our lives. And that we wouldn't just be all complaining, whining, I wish, blah, 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 blah. That would just be thankful to you for what you've done. That we would have a grateful heart toward you. And that we would go into the season being happy with you. Thankful for you. Thankful that your son Jesus was born in a manger for us. And I thank you, Lord Jesus, for that. In Jesus' matchless name, amen. And until next time, God first, God always. So long, everybody.